They need to hear about strong doctrine. Amen. And tonight we'll be talking about some of those things. Actually, we're talking tonight about prayer. James, this will be the last segment that we have in James by the grace of God. Lord, let me finish it tonight. There's great power in prayer. I mean, it is probably the least used weapon of the church in America. We got a lot of folks that go to churches, memorize Scripture from one side to the other. Boy, you can talk to folks, they know, even the folks who don't know the Lord know Scripture. You know, but what I think that we're lacking, or I can tell what we're lacking here, is people that really pray. I mean, really, we're right now we got that movie, The War Room, and it's making its rounds away. You know, and in that movie, that's I think it's a true story. If it ain't, it ought to be. You know, but a story about folks who turn their life over to Christ and really sought God out, and they saw God doing mighty things because a saint prays. There's a lot of things that we'll look at tonight about prayer, about healing, about anointing of oil. You know that we do that here. If you'll call and you'll ask and you want us to anoint you with oil, we do that. I believe in that. I really do. It takes faith to make it work. Well, Jesus makes it work, but it takes two types of faith. It takes the faith of the anointer and the faith of the anointee, you know, to make those things happen or to have that work or to be willing to accept, regardless of what happens, just the prayer of faith and how it makes things happen. It's a wonderful thing. We'll be in James chapter 5. So I pray that you've found your way over there. We'll be picking up in verse 13 because we left off in 12 last week. So let me read 12 and we'll get a running start at this. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Remember, as James is talking to a church that is being chased across the country, these are the Hebrews that were suffering persecution. And he was writing this letter to those folks who had trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the pressures of the society had made them go to different places. And so he's writing to this church and he's saying, folks, when you give your word, let it be your word. Don't swear on the Bible. Amen. How many folks say, I'll swear on my mama's grave? Don't do that. Don't swear on the Bible. Don't swear on anything. Let you just be an honest person. When you give your word to somebody, then that's your seal, because you are in Christ. And Christ wouldn't break His word to you. God tells you something He's going to do. Guess what? He's going to do it. Amen. He said, I'm coming again. And I absolutely believe He's coming again. The Bible said He was coming the first time. And guess what? We got proof. He came when He was supposed to. He was like my wife. Not one day early, not one day late. Absolutely on time. Made the perfect time. And so God is reminding us of that. And then as He comes to the physical need, as James is coming to the physical need, he says in verse 13, and before I get into that, let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I pray even now as we open up this newest part of Your Scripture tonight and we speak to Your church. Lord, I pray that Your name would be high and lifted up. Father, that You would encourage us to be a people of prayer. Lord, that we would seek You and seek Your righteousness in our lives, Lord, that we would be the standard set apart for Your good work. Father, I ask that You would move in our heart and bring us to our knees before You daily, hourly, and moment by moment. And Lord, we thank You for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. And in verse 13, He says, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Amen. Or is anybody out there sick tonight? Tired, wounded, hurt? Are you afflicted in any way? You know what the Bible says right here? Pray. Pray. Do you know that you don't have to come to me to get prayed for? Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you as much as He does me? And God cares about you as much as He does me? My prayers ain't special, folks. They're the same as yours. It just, the only difference may be a different type of faith that we have. You know, do you pray and believe that God is hearing you? Do you pray and truly trust that what you're saying is going before the very throne room of God? Are you living a lifestyle that would encourage your prayers to be heard? Amen. Is there anyone afflicted here tonight? Is there anybody hurting? Pray. Amen. Pray. I tell you what, we got troubles in school. I heard about some today. Well, I tell you what's going to make that work out? How's that going to work? Pray. Pray and wait and see the hand of God. Pray with belief, without wavering. James had told us that earlier. When you pray with a sure, founded confidence that God's going to do something. I've gone through this study several times. It's called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God by Henry Blackaby. Great little 12-week study. Well, part of that is about praying. Part of that study. And what he said about praying that really kind of changed my prayer life, and I got to see God work in a lot of ways. It says, when you pray in believing faith, see what happens next. Pay attention to what happens around you. So when you pray, you say, God, I need help in this. Can you help me in this? And then we forget. And then God's trying to help us, showing us stuff. And we're too busy playing whatever, you know. And God is saying, I'm here. I'm giving you the answer to your request. I'm right here. I'm trying to show you something. But we're not looking for Him. How many people have missed their exit on the interstate? How did you do that? You wasn't looking for it. Amen. God is saying, I got the answer for you. Here's where you get off. Okay? All you got to do is keep your eyes open. I'm at work. I love you. I care for you. I have not stopped working on your behalf since the day I rescued you from hell. I have been on your side. I have never left you. I have never forsaken you. And I'm trying to give you guidance. You came to me as a child saying, Abba, Father, will you help me with this? And I said, yes, child, I'll help you. But then you stick your head in the clouds and you don't listen to where I'm at, you know? And we miss the blessings of God because we really don't stop and slow down and to see where God is at work around you in your circumstances. Oh, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Let him. Is there any of us merry? Are you happy? Then we ought to be singing psalms. We ought to be singing. Well, even on the other side of that, are you miserable? Amen. Are you afflicted? Are you hurting? Are you miserable? You ought to be singing psalms. I tell you what, and I have tried this, and it works exponentially. Big word. Amen. It works all the time. When I get bluesy, mully, grubby, whiny, groany, complainy, if I start praising God, Jesus loves me, this I know. I don't feel like singing that, but the Bible tells me so. Oh, I don't really believe it. And oh, you keep singing it over and over and over. Or He's still working on me. I'm not what I ought to be. He took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars, and He's still working on me. How loving and patient He must be, because God, He's still working on me. Start singing songs. Start singing things that just make God smile. And I tell you what, your blues are going to leave. Because Satan cannot stand in the praises of God. And so if you're feeling down, you're feeling bluesy, kind of grumbly, a little self-loathing a little bit, start praising God. And God will change that in you. Start praying to God and look at what He's doing around you. And God will change things in your life. Yeah, I like this. I don't really like the preacher who coined it too much, but I like the saying, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Can't call the guy's name who said it, but I've heard it a long time ago. And I still believe that God is, He's still on the throne. Jesus is still on the throne. He's still making intercession for you and me. And prayer changes things. And prayer might not change your circumstance, but it'll change you in the middle of your circumstance. Prayer changes things. Well, maybe not, it's not the thing that's the problem. It's me. Amen. And sometimes I just need to pray, God, change my heart because I got a stinking feeling today. I just don't feel like it. God says, pray. Watch me change your heart. Watch me change you. Watch me manipulate the situations around you that you would be glorifying me. Oh, I tell you, church, if we would grab a hold of just verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is anyone merry? Let him sing songs. Amen. Boy, speaking, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says that we need to speak to ourselves. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter, it tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. Isn't that great? How do you cast your care upon Jesus? Bring it to Him in prayer. God, today I'm broken. I need your strength. I cannot drag myself out of bed. I feel so bad. Will you help me, Jesus? Will you help me see a reason to get out of bed this morning? Stay in there in prayer for a little bit. Watch how just move your feet till they fall off the bed and you can stand up. And you can take on the day that He's laid out for you. And speaking of the day that He's laid out for you, how about praying for the day before you start that day? Maybe we wouldn't get so mully grubby if we would pray before we got out from between the sheets. Amen. Take an extra 2 or 3 minutes and lay in bed and say, God, I don't know what this day is going to provide. I feel it's going to be rough. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's cold outside. You know, I need help to do the next thing. Please give me strength to get out of bed. Give me strength to be a witness for you. Give me strength to whoever you bring into my life today that I can be a blessing to them. Oh, people, if we would grab a hold of that, what a difference the church would be. What a difference we would be. God doesn't want to change the world. He wants to change us in the world. Amen. God didn't pray for the world too much. He prayed for us, His people, that we would make a difference in this world. He asked us to humble ourselves before His mighty hand. Do you know that the hand of God is mighty? It is powerful. That He can do all things. And He can guide you into doing whatever He lays out in front of you. Because He said, I will guide you into all righteousness. I will go before you. I will prepare a place for you. I'm going to make you a tool in my hand. And I'm going to bring you to the nastiest, greasiest, hardest nut in the whole world. And I'm going to stick you on Him. Amen? And it's going to be your job through my power to loosen that nut up with the love of God. I like that about God. He doesn't give us easy roads, amen? There's nothing easy about being a Christian. It is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, but it is the most blessed thing you'll ever experience in this life, is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to cast our burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Oh, be righteous before God, and you won't be moved. He won't. If you're walking with God and you're doing the right thing, He won't move you. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. It may seem like they're winning for the moment, but you're looking at the present time. You're not looking at the end of the race. Amen. We're afflicted. We're hurting. We're wounded. We're bruised. We're feeling the pressure of the world. Pray. Seek the Lord. Amen. Sing songs to Him. And God will put you on a path of righteousness. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. Because greater is He that is in you than is in and coming against you in this world. Oh, how God loves His people. And He wants us to want Him with the fullness of our heart. He says in the next verse, is there anyone sick among you? So afflicted is just being bummed out. Is anyone who's sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. I believe in that. Hey, folks, I got oil in my pulpit. Amen. Always have it here. And as the elders of the church, and it doesn't have to be me, your pastor. We have other elders here that believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ, healing the sick. Cliff, he believes that. I believe if you come to him, you call him in the middle of the night, you meet him somewhere. He says, hey, Cliff, I need you to pray for me, man. Can you lay hands on me? Will you ask the Lord to intervene on my behalf? He'll do it. There are some women here that will do that, too. My wife would do it. I know Wendy would do it. You know, I had to think, was that your name? That's Bonnie. Yeah, Bonnie, Wendy. You know, there are some wonderful women of God here that believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has power. And they absolutely believe it. You know what makes them believe it so much? They have seen Him work. Amen. They have seen Him work in people's lives. That's how we get our confidence, is we've been walking with the Lord enough to see Him do some things. How do I know He's faithful? Well, I know He's faithful because of the Word of God. Amen. For sure. But I know He's faithful because I have seen Him at work. I have seen the power of the Lord change people's lives. I've seen the power of the Lord make the sick man well. Amen. I've seen it. I believe that it works. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they will be forgiven of him. All right, we're going to spend a little bit of time on this passage right here because it kind of threw me in a conundrum. It made me think about some things. Wow, do you mean that I can pray for you and save you from your sin? No, that's not what it says. When you read it and you just read it flat out, and what kind of got me in this is I talked to a fellow a couple years ago who preached that. He believed it fully, that I could pray you out of your sin. Okay, no, I can't. I don't have the... Salvation comes the same way to everybody. Forgiveness comes the same way to everybody. You can you accept Jesus Christ, you surrender underneath His power, and He saves you. Amen? You ask Him to be the Lord of your life, and He says, I'll do that. I love you so much, I'll be the Lord of your life. Surrender unto Me. Believe and confess. Amen? And you will be saved. All right? That's how a person gets saved. Not by me praying for you. That's why I don't lead people in the prayer of salvation. Amen. You pray unto the Lord. You believe unto the Lord, and He will save you. You rest inside of Him. He'll save you. And if you're committing a sin and you're a Christian and it's led you into sickness, there is sins that lead you into sickness. It tells us in Corinthians, if you partake in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, falsely, that many of you are sick and some of you have fallen asleep because you did that. And Paul was writing to the church. So there is a sin that leads unto death. There's a sin that will make you sick. Okay, Paul said that we don't need to worry about praying. Don't pray that on somebody. All right, but there is that sin that will make you sick to your body. This is where he's talking about, verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they will be forgiven unto him. That is all by faith. Amen. So by faith, you come and you get prayer. So you confess it to me. You say, Pastor, I've been sinning a life. I've been living a life full of sin. Will you help me to pray? And I'll say, yeah, I'll help you to pray. Will you anoint me with some oil? Yeah, I'll anoint you with some oil. We're going to pray this through. We're going to stay on our knees until you get through this. That's what a pastor, that's what an elder does for the body. All right. And this saving the sick, it's not talking about saving you into salvation, but this is talking about saving you from your sickness. Jesus did this several times in his ministry. In Mark chapter 10, verse 52, there is a healing of a blind man. And he said, after he healed him, he said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What made him well is his faith. Is his faith that Jesus Christ could do it. Again, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 48, this is a woman who had the issue of blood. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. What made her well? Faith. What kind of faith did she have? We'll just talk about this one for a minute. What kind of faith did she have? She had enough faith to push through the crowd. She had enough faith to humble herself and reach out and grab a hold of the hem of his garment. She had enough faith when God felt the power of healing come out of his body into somebody else. She had enough faith to say, it was me, Jesus, I did that. And when she said, it was me, Jesus, I did that, Jesus said, your faith, you believing that that can happen by me is what made that happen. So when we pray for somebody or when somebody prays and it doesn't happen, all right, we're going to look at one verse right there that Jesus talked about. And so this is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. He's in his hometown and he's preaching there. And it tells us in that verse right there, 13:38, he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Not that Jesus wasn't able to do many works there. Jesus believed he could do them, right? Jesus believed that he could heal people there. Jesus believed that he could raise the dead there. Jesus believed that he could heal blind people and crippled and lepers. He believed that he could do that. But because of their unbelief, not many mighty works were done there. So it's not just the faith of the one who's going to pray for you, but it's the faith of the one who's going to receive the blessing of healing. So it takes faith for these things to work. You've got to believe, fully, wholly believe that God is able to do that. Not that he's only able, but he's willing to do that. We know that Jesus is able, amen? But did you really know that he's willing? that He really, really wants to heal you. He really, really wants to touch you with His goodness and His grace. He really wants to comfort you in the middle of your distress. He really wants to bring you to that place and do a work in you. And you say, well, I prayed several times. I've been anointed with oil and it didn't work. We got Paul's example on this. Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh. He doesn't tell us what that thorn is, and I'm glad that he didn't tell me what that thorn is. Because if he said, I have a problem with my eyesight, that's my thorn, everybody would think that they couldn't get any healing because of their eyesight. And it's, or he told me that I had a twisted ankle and I couldn't get the twist. Whatever the ailment was. He said, I have a thorn in my flesh, and I have prayed 3 times. God, and I tell you, I can't think of a person in the Bible that had more faith than Paul did. Amen? There are a lot that had it, but Paul had enough faith. The people were getting healed by the sweat off of his rag. He had a lot of faith, and people had faith that he knew God, and a lot of healings were done through him. He was able to heal blind folks, cast out demons, all kinds of stuff. But God gave him a certain thorn in his flesh that he would not be able to get over all the days of his life. Paul didn't like this thorn in his flesh. He said, Lord, 3 times I come for you. Jesus, please take this away. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. Every time God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. I gave you this thorn, this burden to carry. I think of Justin. I think of him, a young man. Crippling disease. I don't understand it. But I know his faith in Jesus Christ. I have seen people to come to the Lord because of his standing for Jesus Christ. I have heard that young man pray in my office. Oh my goodness. Shake the doorpost of heaven. He knows God. And he doesn't like the situation. But he said, nevertheless, not my will done, but yours be done. Some of us have some pains we'll never get over. Some of us have some things that God has just given us this to carry for all the days of our life. Stick your chest out. Yes, God. I don't understand it, but I'll tote this for you. While I tote this for you, Jesus, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift your name up. I'm going to be, thank you, God, every day that I'm dragging this leg behind me. Thank you, God, every day that my back hurts so bad I can't see. Thank you, God, that I have this brain disease that's crippling me. Thank you, God, that I have one more day to praise you. Amen? We know folks that are hurting and they may have this pain for the rest of their days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know folks who when you do pray for them and you anoint them with oil, God does a miracle in their life. But it's God that does the miracle. It's not the prayer. Amen? It's God that says, I will heal this one. I'll give this one grace to carry it. Amen? I don't understand how he makes that line, how he came to the man at the pool of Bethesda that had no one to carry him into the pool. And Jesus said, get up, take your bed and walk. I don't understand that. I don't understand how many hundreds of thousands of people had an eye disease in the times of Jesus. And he only spat on the ground and made dirt balls for one of them. I don't know. I have no answer for that. But I know God is able and that He's willing. And if you've got something that you're carrying today and it's heavy, set your feet in the cross. Set your feet on the foundation of Golgotha. You set your feet there and say, God, I will carry this. I will carry this as a Christian. But don't be afraid. Don't think that you're the one that's got to carry this. Come and ask for prayer. Come and ask for the anointing. Come, call the elders together. Let us get together and pray and fast. And thank you, Lord, for this. I didn't even think of it. It's not part of my notes. There was a young man who had a demon that would throw him into the water and throw him into the fire. And the father had brought the disciples to him. And remember, the disciples had cast out demons and did all kinds of great stuff, healed folks. And they had the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to do that. And there was this one child that they couldn't do anything with. And they brought that child to Jesus, the father did, and said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cast him out. Jesus said, how long do I got to bear with you guys? But let me show you the love of God. And Jesus cast out the demon, cast him out. And then his disciples came later and said, hey, Jesus, what's the gig here? We tried that. We couldn't do it. Jesus said, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. There are some things that we're suffering with, but we won't fast for it. There are people that we love that haven't come to Christ, but we won't fast for them. We won't not take in sustenance and spend time in prayer with the Lord. We won't set like the War Room movie and just set a room to the side and spend. When was the last time you spent an hour in prayer? Solid prayer for an hour. How about two hours? How about 3, 4 hours? How about 5 hours? We heard about a missionary, or not a missionary, he's a mission pastor in India. 5 days. 5 days he prayed. All night long. He would pray in the group, they would pray all night long. And we're not talking 30-minute sets. They were on their face all night long for 5 evenings, 5 nights. They would start at 6 in the evening and they would pray till the sun came up. They would take a nap and then he would preach all day long. The guy's almost 80 years old. Oh, church, what would happen if we prayed? Really? Have you ever thought, what if we really, really pray? I mean, really pray. Not God is great, God is good, thank you, the food don't taste like wood. I mean, really pray. Not just bless me, Lord, because I'm already so blessed. But I mean, really pray. Oh, what a difference. What a difference. What a difference this town would see. What a difference this nation would see. Oh, what if we prayed and New York got saved? Amen? My wife's saying, yeah, right. No, really, right. I heard her laugh. We're going to call your name Sarai. And so pray. You got problems in your life? Pray. You got problems in school? Pray. Pray with faith, believing that God hears you and He wants to intervene. Don't pray that He'll take the problem away. Amen. But pray that He'll give you strength to stay. Amen. Because no matter where you go, you're surrounded by the world. Right? Jesus even prayed, thank you, Lord, for this. In John chapter 17, Father, don't take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the trouble. But protect them from the evil that's in the world. That's all we really need protection from. I don't want to get out of this world. Do I want to go to heaven? Sure I do. But I don't want to leave right now because you're here and I love you. Amen? There's lost people here and I love them. There's someone that I'm going to meet soon. I don't know when or where or who it is, but they're going to be caught in the snare of Satan and I'm going to have the ability to touch their life and release the trap. And they'll be able to get out and walk free. Amen? Oh, I need to pray for that day. I need to pray for God to do those marvelous works that He wants to do in us. Oh, I like that in verse 17. Elijah, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. I like that God uses regular folks. You know, Elijah, he was just like you and me. Right? And he prayed that God wouldn't send the rain. Guess what? 3.5 years, not a drop. Talk about prayer Amen? And just before it started to rain, the nation of Israel had turned over to Baal and had started worshiping idols. And Elijah came and said, choose you today who you're going to serve. Let's see who God really is. Let's build us a couple of altars, guys. You Baal worshipers, you build your altar over there. I'm going to let you go first. They went, they prayed, and they hollered, and they cut themselves, they screamed to Baal, and after a while, Elijah started mocking them. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he went on a cruise to Hawaii. Who knows? He went, he's gone somewhere. Nothing. God didn't answer. There's no God but the real God. Then Elijah said, oops, my turn, guys. Y'all sit down, shut up. I got something to show you. And he dug a trench around his sacrifice. Built the altar up, he sacrificed it, he put it on it, dug a trench, filled it with water once, twice, three, four times. Filled it with water, and then he prayed. He prayed. Now, it's a burnt offering covered in water. Who here tried to get wet wood to burn? I do every Sunday. No. That's bad of me. Forgive me. That was not even funny, was it? I'm sorry. That was bad. When I said it, you ever say something you know you just messed up? That was one of them. But anyhow, so have you ever tried to get wet wood to burn? It's hard to get to burn. It smokes a lot, but it doesn't burn real easy. So what did God do? He lapped up the water out of the ditch. He lapped up the water and then he sent fire. And then he consumed the altar and the sacrifice. Picked it up and left with it. He is a man just like me. Elijah, he's nothing special. He is a man who believed God, who had faith in Jesus Christ, had a faith in God, the God Almighty. He had faith in the beginning and the end. He had faith in the Alpha and the Omega. He had faith in Yahweh. He had the faith in Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh. He knew that God was able to do what He said He would do. Oh, folks, if we would pray even half that much. Jesus said, if you prayed and you believed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. You had faith that of the size of a mustard seed. You could see things done. Oh, folks, we got a lot of faith in a lot of stuff. But do we have faith in Jesus Christ? Well, he prayed for it not to rain. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and then he prayed again. And God gave rain. Glory to God. Verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Let me tell you, folks, if y'all are erring from the truth or if I'm erring from the truth, I want you to come to me. Amen. Because I'm coming to you. All right. If I see you're living and who here has heard me talk to them already. I saw you doing something that didn't line up with the Word of God, and I came to you in love and said, brother, this amen. Amen. This ain't right. This ain't right. We got to get these things squared away here. And you had a choice. You had a chance to reject the Word of God and go your way, or you had a chance to come to Christ and be made well. Praise God. The most of you that I've talked to have come back to Christ. Amen. Folks have had those conversations with me. Before I was a pastor, before I was a deacon, I was a pretender Christian like most. Amen? And they come to you and say, Brother Curtis, you know that what you're doing there doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I say, you're right. I need to make an adjustment in my life. And as I started to turn to God, I drew near to God. God drew near to me. And He changed my life one step at a time. I was converted back to Him. In verse 20, let him know, that's the one who converts, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sin. Praise God. Each one of us ought to be talking to somebody that we know that isn't walking with God. And we want to save them from a multitude of sin. Even more than that, I want to save them from death. Amen? I'm talking about damnation. Now, he's talking about believers here, right? Because remember who James was talking to? He said, if you're a believer and you err from your way, somebody comes and turns you around, then I have just saved a soul from death. I saved a Christian from going to hell. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? And even if we do it for those who are not converted, who don't know the Lord, we've saved that person from hell too. Not that I saved them, but Christ saved them. Amen. We got a job to do. And it's going to start on our knees. We got a job to do. And it's going to start when we truly seek the Lord with the fullness of our life. We got a job to do. And it's when we're on our face before God. Let me tell you, weapons are not going to fix this world. This fighting and anger and jealousy and wrath ain't going to work. What will work is love. What will work is a body of Christ given over to prayer. Because God's got to fight this battle. You can't win it. You can't fight it on your own. We got to get God working in the church again. Amen? We got to get Jesus. He wants to work in the church. We're going through the Revelation in men's group. And Jesus is on the outside of the church, knocking on the door. What's He doing out there? Most churches in America are a body without a head. Jesus is the head of the church. And He's knocking on the door of the body saying, if you'll invite me in, church, if you'll let me come back in, I will sop with you. I will spend time with you. I will train you. I'll love you. I'll bring you into what you need to be. How do you do that? Prayer, confession, repentance, and faith, believing that He'll do it. Well, folks, we got a long way to go. Guess what happened Sunday night? This Sunday night. Guess what we're doing? We're praying. Amen. We're praying. And you know what? I would love to see more than four people here. I really would. Five. Man. What I would love to see is this house full of people praying. You know why? That's what's going to change this world. That's it. It's God's people on their face before the Lord. And I know there's some kind of football game this Sunday, isn't it? Is there some sporting event or something's going on this Sunday? Playoffs, yeah. And I know it's going to be a big sacrifice for some folks not to watch your oval ball be kicked around and people push each other on a big green field full of lines. But I tell you, that isn't going to save somebody's soul from hell. But you being on your face before the Lord God just might. Amen. Didn't mean to give you the guilt trip. It comes from my ma. We do love you. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the folks that are here. Father, I thank you for the people that will listen over the internet. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would raise up a people that would humble themselves before your throne. I pray for a faith, Lord God, that believing in you can save a soul. And I pray, Father, that we would know you, the one who's willing and able to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to give breath to a breathless body. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come in these days and blow across the coals of your church and ignite a fire. Father, we have yet to see what God would do with a person that's fully given over to the gospel, that's fully giving over to prayer. Father, raise us up to kneel us down to be those people, broken before you and fixed by you. We thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.